The book of Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What a powerful little statement just sown into the gospel story. He shall save their people from their sins. By the way, that is the point, isn't it? The point of Christmas, as simple as Christmas is, the point is he came to save us. Not a lot of people think of the cross when they think of Christmas. We think of the manger, we think of wise men, we think of shepherds. But we can't have Christmas without the cross. The cross is as important a part in the Christmas story as any other. And Jesus said of himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come." That's what we're celebrating in Christmas. The Son of Man has come. But he goes on because he looks to the cross. He says to save that which was lost. You see, the cross reminds us that Christmas is about a substitution. That Christmas ultimately is about the arrival of our substitution. That one that is going to take our place, to take the punishment that you and I deserve, he has arrived on the scene. That's why he came. We celebrate Christmas because we needed one to take our place. You weren't good enough to pay for your salvation. You weren't able to do it. You and I could not earn salvation in our good works. We couldn't perform it in our good deeds. We couldn't do well enough to please God. It wasn't going to happen. We needed someone who could. We needed a substitute. Christmas is a celebration that our substitute has arrived. We needed him to come in that manger. We needed him to arrive on a Christmas morning. We needed him to be here in the flesh. God couldn't send an angel. He couldn't send the best of humanity. No, God had to come himself in the form of a baby, Jesus Christ, who has come to take away the sin of the world. We had to have it. It had to be done this way. Our substitute, as weird as it may sound, is what Christmas is all about. It isn't about, and sadly, there are those who say, well, Christmas is about God bringing out the best in all of us. My friend, there is no good in us. Christmas is the arrival of the one who could be what God had designed us to be. We needed salvation in human form. We need salvation in the flesh. You see, bodies are central to the Christian story. Creation inaugurates the body that it is good. God said, he saw it and he said, behold, it is good. But in the fall of Genesis chapter 3, you and I took on the curse on our body. We would now sweat with labor. Childbirth would be painful. These were things that never would have been without the curse. But now we carry the mark of sin upon us. As much as our bodies may be mirrors, mirrors of the consequences of the fall, they are also, as one writer says, where God chosen to find us in our fallenness. God sent his Son not to remain aloof and far from us. He sent us his Son in the form of humanity, form of flesh like you and me. He is like us. This is what we needed. We needed a substitution. One who was in the flesh like us. One who was God like our Father. One who could mediate the gap between the two of us. My friend, if I could leave you with just two simple truths here today. This simple truth is that you are a sinner and Jesus came to set you free from sin. You are a sinner and Jesus has come to set you free from that sin. How can a human race be rescued out of rebellion to avoid the condemnation? All of those that are under sin will receive condemnation. The only way was for God to send another Adam, like the first Adam that he created in the Garden of Eden. But this Adam, instead of choosing to sin and to defy the command of God, this Adam, Jesus, would live a perfect life, holy and without spot, without sin of any kind. And those who are willing to put their faith and trust in this second Adam, Jesus himself, only they will know what it is to be free from sin. The second truth we must recognize is that Christmas is a mark of weakness. Christmas is a mark of weakness. But we would say humility. It's a mark of humility. No, I wonder if we could find Jesus at weak points. I would say there were two points in Jesus' life that are marked by weakness. The cross, as he hung there beaten, as he hung there scourged, as he hung there dying, even to the point where he finally at last says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." I would say Jesus was pretty weak at that spot. I would say his second place of weakness was there in a little manger in Bethlehem. Frail, small, dependent. I imagine if we looked at that one who was weakest here in our congregation, we would probably find it was some small child who needed its mother for nourishment, needed its mother to watch over and shield it and care for it, needed a father to protect it and to make sure that nothing happened to it, to defend it. You see, that child is weak. It is defenseless. Jesus, I think at his weakest moments were that moment in the manger and that moment on Calvary. And I tell you, it is no small thing that God allowed himself to become weak for you. And a salvation that was given to us in the weakness of the manger and the weakness of Calvary, why is it we believe that we can have it in our strength? God is not looking to give salvation to the strong. He looks to give salvation to the humble. To the one who, like our Savior, is willing to humble himself even to the weakness of a small child. That one who is willing to humble himself even to die to self, that Christ might live through him. You say, "Preacher, I'm a good enough Christian. I think I do enough good stuff." No. Salvation is reserved for the humble. It's reserved for the weak. It's reserved for those who die to self. Christ, my goodness is nothing. Your goodness is all I need. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope you'd give me the privilege and the honor of showing you out of God's word how you could place your trust in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, not because you're good enough, not because you're religious enough, not because you showed up at Christmas time, but because Christ is good enough.